joining us in the hotline to keep up with the Football Friday, as he is every Friday at 7:30. It is Dan Klaskins. He's the host of the Fantastics on Sirius XM Radio. He has his own Get Sports Info podcast, and of course, he is your ranker and writer for Pro Football Focus Fantasy. He's everything that you need to know about fantasy football, and he's with us every Friday, as well as he's with us today right now. So, Danny, how are you doing this morning?
Oh, happy Friday to you, Randy. ready for some Week 3 action.
Well, right off the bat here, I'm going to ask you. Last week, we kind of brought it up. You know, it's only 1 week. You don't want to overreact or underreact to anything, but you had the amazing play for the last couple weeks, say, Fitzpatrick and Mahomes. Now the question is, we've seen it 2 weeks in a row. Is this one that you start jumping on these guys? Are they realist? Is this a real thing, or is this still a little bit of a mirage?
Well, I mean, in Patrick Mahomes' case, yes, this is a guy we've been bullish on here really all summer long, and it's coming to fruition. But that said, 10 passing touchdowns through 2 weeks, you're going to definitely expect some regression ahead. I do think this is a very good offense. Kareem Hunt is the guy that I think is going to start dipping into those numbers a little bit, because he's yet to rush for a touchdown. He hasn't been involved in the receiving game. So I'm still in on Mahomes. And in Fitzpatrick's case, Jameis Winston, only one more game, he's suspended. I think if Fitzpatrick and the Bucs, especially if they win on Monday night, it's going to be really tough for Tampa Bay to turn back to Jameis. So, a situation that's going to be worth monitoring for sure.
How much an effect, and it might not be this week, but how much an effect is Josh Gordon going to be with the New England Patriots down the road from a fantasy standpoint?
Yeah, I mean, clearly this is a great move for Josh Gordon, really not even just from a football perspective, maybe from a life perspective. And kudos to Cleveland for finally cutting ties with him and not letting him continue to, you know, not really be an adult and accountable for things. So, Gordon, it doesn't change a ton in the fact that, yeah, this guy's got as high a ceiling as any receiver in the game, perhaps, but it's always a big what if. Can he get it on track? His chances improve here. I think the real interesting parts of this trade for me are the winners and losers outside of this. Antonio Callaway, I think he's a big winner. We saw him get 10 targets last night. The guy is dynamic, a rookie out of Florida. I think the best wide receiver from the 2018 class. He slipped to the fourth round because of his failed drug test, and he liked to smoke weed, but you know what? I'll take him on my fantasy team, especially with Baker Mayfield there. And Chris Hogan, a loser with the Patriots, because not only is Josh Gordon now battling him to be that top target for Tom Brady, but Julian Edelman's coming back after Week 4. Those running backs are going to get healthy, and Chris Hogan, a fifth-round pick that people were reaching for, is going to end up being one of the bigger busts, I think, by the time the dust settles.
Dan, if you were to get some advice for the David Johnson owners out there, who probably was the top three, top five pick in most leagues, but now they're probably starting to get a little nervous with how David Johnson's playing, and Cardinals can't throw the ball, and they certainly can't run the ball now. So what advice would you give for the David Johnson owners out there?
Well, it's the direct correlation fantasy football has to the stock market. You got to look at the long-term picture here. If you sell right now, you're going to lose, and it sucks that David Johnson has gotten off to a slow start for these guys and invested a top five pick in him. And let's face it, it's not going to get any easier. Take a glance at the Cardinals schedule over the next 4 games, starting with a brutal matchup against the Bears D this week. And I'm not optimistic it's going to turn around soon, but they are going to have to get him more involved. The offense is sputtering. Only two of his 25 routes he has ran this year have come from three of his routes have come lined up at receiver compared to all the, you know, he's coming out of the backfield. And that's a stark contrast to what we saw under Bruce Arians, where 35% of his snaps, his routes run were out of the slot and at the receiver position. So I don't know. I think they need to use him better. I think if he can get involved in the passing game, he'll have a higher floor. But I'm struggling to put him in my top 10 right now, the rest of, for Week 3 here at least.
Dan, probably one of the other big headlines going into this week, of course, is Carson Wentz finally returning to the lineup. What should we expect from him? And if you're a Carson Wentz owner, would you even start him this week versus the Colts?
He's tough to get in your lineup. I think, obviously, the Eagles didn't look great last week. I think maybe that led to this decision time being here. They've been trying to be cautious with him, but they need a spark plug. The receiving core has been decimated by injury so bad that they actually have gone out and re-signed Jordan Matthews. But in terms of Wentz, long-term, yes, this is great for him, for that offense. If Week 3, if I have another option, I'm probably going to take a wait-and-see approach on getting him into the lineup. It's a decent matchup against Indianapolis there with a total right around 48. So there's going to be some scoring there. And if you're, chances are if you drafted this guy, especially later in the summer when you knew he was probably going to miss some time, you probably went on a QB too early, and I'm guessing that guy, person could get one more start if necessary.
Dan, let's do this we always do every week. I want to kind of run down the three key positions of quarterback, running back, wide receiver. Give me a couple of key starters and a couple of guys that you think should be benched this week. Start with the quarterback position.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm looking at guys I like more and some guys I like less at quarterback, I think we talked a little bit about Fitzpatrick. I'll continue to roll him out this week. I've got him as a top five quarterback in week number three. Jimmy Garoppolo, the player I really like, he's loaded up in my daily lineup. We talked about the Chiefs putting up all those points, that they're going to continue to happen, so the Niners are going to have to keep pace. And, you know, quarterbacks I'm a little down on this week. I'm trying to get excited about Matthew Stafford, but I don't know. This matchup with New England, I don't think it's great. The Patriots' D is not what it was once there, but I've got him outside my top 12 quarterbacks, which basically means I don't look at him as a starter. At running back, Jordan Howard. Loving me some Jordan Howard this week, fellas. I think he was a little disappointing in week two for owners. He breaks out of that this week. Chris Thompson has been doing it all season. He'll keep it running. And then liking a little less, Adrian Peterson. It's all about game flow for him, and they have to have the lead. And I'm not expecting that to happen as they welcome in the Packers. So he's probably getting benched if I've got him on my spot. Receiver, finally there. Let's keep our eyes on Robert Woods and Chris Godwin. I think those are some sneaky plays, coming off, more wide receiver three type players. And guy I'm going to bench this week is Devin Funchess. I know that Cam has done good, but William Jackson, the third with the Bengals here, he's going to shut Funchess down. He's far from a wide receiver one.
Dan, speaking of the wide receivers, going back to the Lions receiving group, you have Kenny Galladay, who seems like he's the go-to guy for Stafford this year, but also you still have two other pair of 1,000-yard receivers like Marvin Jones and Golden Tate out there. What do you make of this Lions receiving core? Who do you like going forward? Who do you think can maybe take a step back out of these three guys?
Well, I think the hard part is figuring out who is the star. Clearly, Galladay has looked like an ascending player all preseason, and it's come to life here during the season. So I'm excited about him long term. But Golden Tate, if I'm in a PPR league, still the safest bet there. We're talking about a player with 90 plus catches, I think, now 4 years in a row. And the deep bomb, I mean, they're coming for him. The targets have been down a little bit for Marvin Jones, but no player on that team can make a bigger scoring play. So I think they're all really fantasy assets. It's a tough defense. It's a tough offense to figure out every week, so that makes it a little frustrating for owners. But really, all three of those guys are, and especially in deeper leagues, are receivers that could be in lineups on a weekly basis. I think it also makes it interesting because we think about them playing the Patriots this week, and what do we always think about Belichick? All right, we're going to shut down their best player, and that's where they really thrive. That's tough to do with the Detroit Lions because I don't know if there is a best player. So that balanced approach could actually work in their favor this week.
I want to go back to the running back position. Matt Breida from the San Francisco 49ers is actually leading the league in rushing through 2 weeks so far. Are you a believer in Matt Breida going forward, or do you think Alfred Morris will start to get more carries in that offense?
Well, Alfred Morris, I mean, we got to remember this guy was sitting on a couch on August 1. So, I mean, if he was that great of a football player, rest assured he'd have been in training camp sooner than that. He is the guy getting some early down work there, but Breida, clearly the 49ers running back to own. Since Jerick McKinnon went down, I mean, he is really elevated up there, and I expect that to continue. In PPR leagues, he's the clear choice of the two, but I think we also need to be a little pessimistic of some of the early results. You look at running back. I mean, James Conner, he's RB2 right now after a couple weeks. You got Austin Eckler in the top 10 there. Phillip Lindsay sitting at number 11. So will he remain an RB1 type of running back with the numbers he's produced? I don't think so, but he's probably going to end up a weekly fantasy starter the rest of the way.
Dan, I know it's Friday, and a lot of owners probably already put in their waiver claims for this week at least, but going forward, who are some of the guys that owners should probably look on the free agent wire, who they should target, who they should at least keep an eye on going forward? Who's the guy that you might like on the waiver wire?
Well, I mean, it depends on how deep of your league you're in, and I think that's a big important thing here, because if you only got four or five bench spots, I mean, there are no such thing as what I call stashes. So, you know, you have to go off your needs. And the bye weeks are right around the corner here. So you have to also sort of look ahead there. But in terms of guys that probably are still out there on a Friday waiver wire, that in fact, I picked up a player last night, Tre'Quan Smith. He hasn't really done much, the rookie wide receiver for the Saints, but neither have the other Saints receivers. And I'm a believer that in about 3 or 4 weeks, this guy's going to break out. So in deeper leagues where I had some of those spots and as I say, those stashable positions, he's a guy I'm targeting. And Baker Mayfield is going to be very interesting if you're in a deeper league as well, or maybe a super flex two quarterback. He's going to be out there. It looks like he's going to take it over. And I can't believe how many leagues that Geronimo Allison was still available. And I think earlier this week, it was like 42% of the leagues at Yahoo. He was still a guy. I mean, he's emerged and made himself clear. He's the Packers' number three. And he's getting the target. So those are just a few names.
Well, great stuff, Dan. Appreciate it. As always, he's Dan Klaskins. Again, he's the host of the Fantastics on SiriusXM Radio. Get Sports Info podcast, which is a great podcast. He's also ranker and writer for Pro Football Focus Fantasy. I highly recommend you go to his Twitter page. You can get links to everything that he does, plus all the information he puts out over the course of the week. That Twitter handle is at Dan Klaskins, DanClasgens. Dan, again, thank you so much. Look forward to talking again next Friday.